This is Greg Olson, and I'm thrilled to introduce my new podcast, TE1. TE1 will chronicle a 60-year evolution of the tight end position, from its origins as an obscure, overlooked blocking role to the versatile superstar position that it is today. I'll explore the evolution of the position through conversations with some of the all-time game-changing tight ends. And just like the incredible tight ends we sit down with on my new show, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. This truck is all about grit, strength, and dependability. The same attributes it takes to be a tight end. It feels like Miami. Miami Heat, Miami Heat. 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 Miami Heat. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas, and with me today, producer, co-founder, Brian Goins.
What's up, guys?
We are excited. It's a great day. It's a beautiful, sunny day. I went to the beach. I paddleboarded. I am ready to preview the NBA Finals. I can't believe we're saying that, much less in almost October. It's so weird. Also with me today is our Photoshopper and anime lover, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
Our professional screw up, who you can also see his work on the Five on the Floor podcast with Ethan Skolnick, Alex Toledo. And joining us again on the program, Miami Heat luminary, Tony Fiorentino.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Tony? Thanks so much for coming on. I know it's a busy day. Thanks for making the time. But we know we have to have one of the premier voices of Miami basketball on today. It's a big day.
You know, I got a physical today, so to make sure my heart can take the finals.
I mean, could your heart take the second round? Because even that game six, that fourth quarter, I was sweating.
Did you pass a conditioning test? I think that's what we want to know.
There you go.
Coach, Coach, you're a day one lifer, right? You've been with the organization since year one.
Yes. I was on the original coaching staff.
Yes. You and Eric, too, right? Eric, Ron,
Eric
Jose
was an original, Ron Rothstein, Jose Pineda.
Second year, right?
You know, he's been there from the beginning.
Oh, his first one, yeah.
Yeah, Jose. Andy Ellisberg, Jeff Craney, Sam Schulman.
What about Chet Cameron? Chet Cameron's the secret to everything that's been happening. How long has Chet been there?
Chet's been there since Pat Riley came with Randy Fund. Randy Fund was his guy. He brought him aboard. First general manager under Pat Riley.
Let's kind of start there, because what Chet Cameron has done with the drafting and the scouting, I think Heat
Adam
scouting
Simon
is always
too. You have to also
Adam
Simon.
Listen, the gauntlet of legends that have made this run possible. I mean, from the young guys, from Tyler Hero to Bam Adebayo to the undrafted players, even from Udonis, everybody. Coach, where do you what we're going through right now has been absolutely incredible. This run has been as unprecedented, as surprising, as thrilling, exciting, as validating as anything I can remember, having been a fan since almost the year 2000. Like, where do you rank what the hell's going on right now?
Well, Andy Ellisberg is a general manager, as you know. He's also Heat original, as I mentioned. And I was speaking with Andy back in October. And if you recall back in October, no one had the Heat in the top five picks in the East. In by record, a lot of people had them 6, 7, or 8. A few people had them out of the playoffs. And I said to Andy that in the Heat's program, just the people among the Heat, the goal was to be have a first round home court advantage in the playoffs. So that meant you had to be in the top four. Okay. And at the time, everyone loved Boston, Toronto, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. And no one gave the Heat a chance to be in the top four. Now, we know they wound up fifth, but that was just
seeding.
They would have wound up fourth if they had to. And so what did it for me was the second game of the season, the Heat went to Milwaukee without Jimmy Butler. His lady had a baby. His wife had a baby. He stayed home. He didn't play the first couple of games for the Heat. And the Heat went to Milwaukee and beat them in overtime without Jimmy Butler. And they kind of got an idea right there that something could be brewing here with this team. And then when they got into the bubble, they kind of made a commitment to the situation. They mentally made a commitment. Look, we're here. I read today, I think it's 88 days now or something like that, that they've been in there.
Yep.
It's a long time to be away from your family, almost 3 months. But they made the commitment, and then and they showed it on the court. And there's a resilience and a never say die attitude by this team that reflects the coach, Eric Spoelstra. And they go out and they don't care who gets the credit. They all take the blame when they lose. They don't point fingers, and they just come back tough for the next game. So in one way, you're surprised they're here, but in another way, watching them play, you're not surprised.
I love the comments that LeBron today had on Eric Spoelstra. I don't know if you saw those, coach, but he just kind of went on. He was waxing poetically about how prepared Spo has those guys and how kind of the media narratives around Spo have been really unfair. And I think the job he has done with them, particularly defensively, has been absolutely monumental. I know that they've improved a lot on defense since arriving to the bubble. They used to play a more drop kind of defense coverage, and now they're switching everything. They've played everything from zone to man to switching off-ball actions to switching on-ball actions. And you're a coach. Can you talk a little bit about, can you explain how difficult that is for a coach to completely change the way you play defense midseason?
Well, what's interesting is most people who didn't get it about Eric Spoelstra were pseudo experts who never coached. They don't
That's
get
right.
it.
That's right.
I've been saying for years when I was on the broadcast that Eric Spoelstra is on a fast track to the Basketball Hall of Fame. If anybody thinks it was easy to win with the three all-stars on the team, okay, LeBron, Bosh, and Wade, to think that that was easy, going against the Boston team that's still at Hall of Famers. They beat a Oklahoma City team that had Westbrook, Durant, and Harden.
Yeah.
Okay. To do all of that, beat a very good Indiana team to get to, I mean, all of that stuff, every situation.
Yeah, plus the Spurs organization that had two Hall of Famers already.
Well, and people forget that Coach Spoelstra coached 2 years before LeBron came. He had two teams of players that basically had one-year contracts because Pat Riley wanted to be so far under the cap that he could sign the three All-Stars in 2010. And he made the playoffs both years. And for me, I was an assistant for 4 years on Coach Riley's staff when Eric Spoelstra was the video coordinator. And it's the assistant coaches that deal with the video coordinator. And you have to make scouting reports. You got to make videos for the coaches, for the players. Eric Spoelstra was always on the money with all of that stuff. And so we saw firsthand how smart he was. And for me, the defining thing for me when he first started coaching, I knew how smart he was. I knew how bright he was. 75% of coaching in the NBA goes on behind the scenes. And the first decision that Eric Spoelstra had to make, if you recall back in 2008, when he his first year as a coach, we drafted Beasley, Michael Beasley, with the second pick. And so he had to go to Udonis Haslem. Here's a guy that he got to, you know, experience as a video coordinator, then assistant coach, now a head coach, one of the most beloved players in the history of the Miami Heat, okay? And he had to tell him to come off the bench, that Michael would better with Michael Beasley starting. That right there showed you he wasn't afraid to make decisions. And so it doesn't surprise me that he'll go into a series or go into the playoffs and not play some guys who have been playing all year. Myers Leonard started how many games before he got hurt?
50.
You go into the bubble, he doesn't start any games, right? You got to have a lot of conviction and a lot of confidence in yourself and your staff to make those decisions, knowing that it's all on the line. And he's not afraid to make those decisions.
So I love that you brought up the Michael Beasley Udonis thing, because kind of we have a similar situation even in the bubble right now with Goran Dragic, Alex. And we talked a lot about this kind of prior to the playoffs. If Spo was going to start Dragic, Kendrick Nunn had given them really good minutes all season long, was played really well off Jimmy Butler and Bam. And Alex, I remember us talking. I was very anti the decision to bring Dragic to the starting lineup because I thought he was so effective off the bench. How wrong were we?
Oh, we were so wrong. We were so absolutely wrong. I mean, honest, I still stand by the fact that Kendrick Nunn and Myers Leonard were really good as, you know, part of that starting lineup. But I think, like Tony's talking about, Spo made that decision for a reason, right? Like, I think it empowered them to kind of be productive and to get the most out of his talent throughout the regular season, throughout that grind. And now in the playoffs, when the, you know, rotation shortens, he knows, okay, I'm going to play a card here that they weren't really ready for. We're going to throw an extra ball handler, an extra shot creator into the mix with Dragic, so they're not constantly just expecting, you know, the Jimmy Bam Duncan formula that we saw during the regular season. You throw Dragic into there, it gives them really an entirely new element to their offense that Kendrick Nunn wasn't bringing into the starting lineup, even though he was productive and made all rookie first team for a reason. Dragic gives them the pick and roll stuff. I mean, we were so wrong, man. Dragic has been their third all-star, and he absolutely has been deserving of that starting lineup.
You guys made a mistake. You made a mistake that most people make, okay? Nobody knows their team.
We're pseudo-experts.
We're the pseudo-experts you were talking about.
You should get a pen, and you know, maybe you get paid for being a pseudo-expert. You know?
The mistake
that a lot of people make is that they evaluate a situation before it, let it play out and see what happens. Dragic was the leading scorer for the Heat in the first round. Jimmy Butler the second round. Bam the third round. So the point is,
so Tyler Herro is going to be leading scorer in the finals.
Knows his team, and a lot of people make comments or decisions on things. They're not in the practices every day. Coach Spoelstra saw his team play practice every day. So he didn't just make a blind decision to change things. He wanted to play a little differently. He wanted to cut down the rotation a little bit. Dragic in an 82-game schedule is not good to start. But in the bubble and in the playoffs, you see this, how good that decision was. And the best thing about the whole thing, not only did it work, but guys like Nunn and Leonard, they're the first guys off the bench rooting their team on.
Yep.
It's not, there are no egos involved here. They're all in it for one thing, that championship ring. And once they get involved in it, it's all hands on deck, whether you're playing or not.
Well, Coach, think of Dragic. You know, he was in a lot of trade talks in the offseason. There was that report by
it was
the Athletic.
Woj. It was Woj.
Was it Woj or was it the Athletic?
It was Woj, but I mean, we had other reports that basically were confirming that the Heat were about to send him to Dallas. I mean, he was part of that Jimmy Butler trade originally before that trade kind of blew apart. Mark Cuban, I guess, was kind of confused at what the trade package was. They kind of expected DJJ and Kelly Link to be part of that deal. The Heat weren't willing to give up those two players, and they basically had to go ask some other teams to help fulfill that sign and trade, and that's how we end up getting that Portland three-way deal with Philly involved.
But
guys, when it comes to stuff like that, I believe half of what I see and none of what I hear.
Oh, yeah, totally. But I mean, even if you're a player and you're in those rumors, I know, you know, I think players have talked pretty openly about how difficult it is to hear your name as professional as these guys are. And for Dragic, you know, to go from that to accepting a role coming off the bench after he was an all-star, after he was after Udonis, the longest tenured Heat player there, and to do so gracefully and with the motivation to be sixth man of the year. You know, that's just incredible on him. And I think that speaks to a lot of the stuff.
Well,
that
there was one prominent guy who said that the Heat should trade half their team for Westbrook.
Oh, who?
Trade Hero, trade Bam, trade all everybody.
Chef Trilly? Who was it?
I know it was, but I won't mention him.
He's above that, man. Coach Tony's above that, Giancarlo. Come on.
I know exactly who it is, and we won't say it. But you know what, Coach Tony, you bring up a good point. It's actually something I kind of want to ask you, because obviously you've been around the team. You know they're basically their history. Where does Dragic rank right now with this playoff run in mind as in terms of one of the best point guards in Heat history?
Well, I got a question from Barry Jackson on the Herald. In the Herald. He wanted to know... and it hadn't even dawned on me to think about it. You know, we always said the best point guard in Heat history is Tim Hardaway. And now Dragic is on the scene. This is before the playoffs.
Right.
And I love going Dragic. I remember when we were on the air, Eric Reed asked me when we made the trade, what do you think? I said, I love going Dragic because as an opponent and announcing the games, having been a former coach, I look at things a little differently than fans. I saw his toughness. I loved him when he played in Phoenix. When we got him, I loved that trade because he came here because he was supposed to play with Wade and Bosch. And then Bosch went down with the blood clots.
Right.
And so it didn't work out quite the way Coach Riley wanted it to, President Riley. But, you know, I think when you talk about the two best point guards in Heat history, those two guys are heads and tails above everybody, heads and shoulders above everybody.
If Dragic wins a championship, Brass, like if Dragic wins a championship, does that do it for you? You've been around for a lot. You've been a fan since the Ronnie Cycli days. So I mean,
obviously Timmy is an absolute Heat legend. But it's two different teams, man. It's two different sort of generations. It's really hard to say, but I do think that Dragic is right alongside him at worst. Is right alongside him, especially if they can get a championship out of this, because the way that he has played recently has been remarkable. And,
yes.
And if you recall when the Heat made the trade, when they got Timmy, he was, I think, a lot of people had sort of written him off a little bit at that point. And I think there's
about Tim.
Yeah. And I think
he came off a major knee surgery in Golden State.
Right. And I think, Dragic's time is really just kind of proven a lot of people wrong. And he's just been amazing. And he's
Slovenia is near Italy. I asked him if he's got some Italian in him.
Listen, coach, I'm Italian too. Where's your family from? My family's from Naples.
Oh yeah. My mom's family is from Ischia, the island off of Naples. You go Sorrento, Capri, or Ischia with the hydrofoil. My mom's side.
Yeah. I miss Italy a lot, coach. I was supposed to go for summer, but obviously with the world the way it is, it had different
plans.
I knew
there was something else I liked about you.
Yeah. Well, my name's Giancarlo. You know what I mean, John?
There you go.
So my mother's namesake. Kind of look into the matchup between the Heat and the Lakers, coach. The thing I'm most comfortable with in this matchup is, and we all know the Lakers are a great defensive team. LeBron James is obviously playing some of his best basketball of his career, even at his age. He's been absolutely outstanding. Anthony Davis, we all know the pedigree there. Their role guys have really locked in. They've bought into what Frank Vogel's doing, right? They're playing excellent. If I'm a Miami Heat fan and if I'm the coaching staff and I'm looking at the way that the Lakers defend, I think that it's a little bit different than how Milwaukee and Boston have done it in the terms of how they're going to defend their handoff offense and how the Bucks with Wes Matthews and Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe were so aggressive and good going over screens for that Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo / Tyler Hero handoff offense. And for the Celtics, they were very comfortable switching that. Other than Marcus Smart, they didn't really have a lot of guys to go over the screens. And I feel like that's why Duncan he was able to shake loose a lot more. When I look at the Lakers, I know that they're a good defensive team, but I look at that as kind of the weak point in their defensive. The Heat can kind of play an east-west type offense, right? Going downhill against Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, LeBron James, that's going to be really tough. And we know Jimmy's going to be able to draw fouls and all that. But I think, coach, their best bet to run good offense is going to be to kind of grease their wheels with that handoff stuff with those kind of weaker perimeter defenders than they've seen so far.
Well, if you put your coach's hat on, that was a good evaluation, by the way.
Thank you, coach.
If you put your coach's hat on, I think the main thing that the Heat have to do in this series, is you want to make the Lakers play half-court offense. Now, let's backtrack now a little bit because you got the domino effect. You're talking about the Laker defense. There's three things that the Heat would like to do on offense in this series. Have a good shooting percentage. If you miss threes, long rebounds. If the Lakers get out into the open court with Rondo and Davis and LeBron with Dwight Howard filling, being a trailer going to the offensive boards, it's going to be a long night for them, okay? So you want to shoot a good percentage. You want to get to the foul line. You slow the game down when you get to the foul line, and you limit your turnovers. So it's a very small margin of error for the Heat. They have to play a very, very sharp game and a sharp series to be able to beat the Lakers in seven games. Now, you're playing the best player in the world. You're playing the second or third or fourth best player in the world. So they're going to have the two best guys on the floor in every game. But with what the Heat has been able to do with the way they move without the ball, you talked about going east-west. That's a good analysis. Getting good shots. You've got to bury the shots you're supposed to make. And that will slow them down a little bit. If you get those guys running and filling the lanes with their athleticism, the problem that their defense creates, I think, is a little different than the other teams. Is that I think the Lakers are longer and have better length with guarding, which makes it difficult to pass because the arms are so long. You think about the LeBron with his arms out and Davis with his arms out. Rondo's so quick. He plays the passing lane real well. Things like of that nature. To me, I think that's where the ball fake, shot fake comes into play, where you got to freeze the defender and then make the pass. But I think if the Heat can get a good shooting percentage, get to the foul line, limit the turnovers, they'll have a shot in the series.
What were the other two areas that you were saying? That was one of the areas.
Well, the main one I think you got to play them in half court. Now when you get them in the half court offense, now what do? How do you play them? Now, Eric Spoelstra has been very, very good throughout his career in coming up with a good defensive scheme. It's almost like, I think, like Bill Belichick. What he does, identify the two best things that an opponent does every Sunday, and they try to limit their effectiveness, make them do something else that they're not as good at. Okay? Now, I think, I didn't watch a lot of the Laker games, but from what I read and from what some people have said, they weren't consistent shooting the three so far in the bubble. So clogging the lane, maybe forcing them to shoot threes, then you got to get the offensive rebound. Playing zone, the concern will be rebounding the ball. You know, don't let them crash their offensive boards. Do you double-team LeBron when he catches the ball? You know, there's certain decisions that the Heat have to make. And
Do you double-team Anthony Davis?
You can't stop both of them. You can't contain both.
Since he's a worse passer than LeBron, theoretically,
you're not going to contain both. So maybe you focus in on one, knowing that the other one's going to go off, okay? And, I mean, that's just one option. You know, Coach Spoelstra will come up with a game plan. Hopefully that will help the Heat. If it doesn't work, then you got to change it mid-game or you change it for the next game. He's only had a couple of days to prepare for this, Monday and Tuesday, and a shoot-around on Wednesday morning. So we'll see what he wants to implement and how well his team can implement his game plan.
So, Coach, the thing that I look like kind of historically what they've done this postseason is to contain guys like, I think the big issue with LeBron is if he's going to have Caldwell Pope or Alex Caruso or Rondo screen for him, get a smaller guy in that pick and roll, and then he goes downhill. I think when that's kind of the danger zone for the Heat. But what I like what they can do there is kind of what they did on Giannis. Help early, help purposefully, make that pass to the corner as hard as you can. And we know that the Heat defense gives up a lot of corner threes by design because they really play the strong side of the ball very, very well and very, very purposeful. And if Alex Caruso is going to hit you from the corner from three, and if Caldwell Pope is going to do that, then I think that the Heat are going to be okay with that. As long as they send the help early, as long as they send it purposefully, I think they'd live with that result.
No, the same thing they did against Milwaukee. I mean, you obviously noticed in that series that they were playing, they're not sagging off, but they were giving Brooke Lopez some of those open three looks by design.
Well, you know, you got to pick your poison. You got to live with something. They're a very good team. You're not going to shut off everything. And, you know, the old coach's axiom is, whenever possible, don't let the best player beat you. And so if you make the other guys make shots and they make them, then they're going to beat you. You know, so you got to give them something. And so they're there for a reason. Miami's there for a reason. Now I'm sure their focus is on how do you play all the movement that the Heat give you with the backdoor cuts and the handoffs and all of those certain things. You know, the ball handling of Bam. Who's going to guard Bam? It's probably going to be if Dwight Howard starts, it'll probably be him guarding him. Then who does the Heat use to guard Davis? Who does the Heat use to guard LeBron? Do they start in the zone? These are all the things that they have to resolve in their pregame preparation for before they get on the court with the players yesterday, and then see how the approach goes by tomorrow night. And then, hey, if it doesn't work, you try something else for game two.
That's what's great about Spo. He's so adaptable. One thing I did see, and I saw this number floating around, that the Lakers are scoring 0.9 points per possession against the zone, which is not very good. But Miami's zone is kind of weird because they play their guards on the back line and they really stress the wings on the front. So what I'm worried about there is if the Lakers do get to play big and if Dwight Howard does get to stay on the court, that's a lot of offensive rebounding that, you know, it's kind of, it's a hard ask to ask Dragic or Tyler Hero or or one of those guys to box, you know, guys twice their size pretty much. That'd be my only concern with their zone.
The thing is, where will the rebounds come off? You got your bigs crashing the boards from the perimeter. And the reason why, there's two reasons why you play that way with your bigs up front, because their arms, they got longer arms, wingspan is good, makes the passes tougher. And your guards can rotate out a little quicker on paper to the corners and close out. And so you're right, though. I mean, anytime you play a zone, the concern is defensive rebounding. So we'll see.
And there's theirs in particular, though, because the guards are on the back
line. Yeah, they're
a
very good offensive rebounding team, no doubt. But again, you can't take everything away. So you've got to figure out what you're going to give up.
I think the biggest thing for Miami is probably forcing them to play small. If you have shooters like Kelly Olynyk, maybe if you bring back Myers Leonard this series, who knows? Trying to stretch out the floor with them on offense and maybe forcing the Lakers to play smaller.
Oh, Olynyk, I think Olynyk will play a lot in this series.
I think that's an Olynyk series. I like what he did against Brook Lopez a lot. I mean, Brook Lopez with that really extended drop.
Take him outside.
Lopez wasn't. Lopez was stay drop on that handoff or in that pick and roll, and it gave Kelly all the time to shoot. The Lakers are obviously not going to do that. Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard are a lot. They don't have as rigid a defensive game plan as that.
You said earlier about the Heat's about the Lakers pick and roll, the Heat have to decide how they want to play that. They may play it differently with different guys. Do you want to go under and force the jumper to take away the drive? Do you want to trap whoever? Let's say it's LeBron coming off a small. Let's say Rondo's setting a screen on LeBron's man. Do you want to trap LeBron coming off? You know, and these are all the areas.
Rondo that shot.
You can't touch every area. You know, you can't control every area. But you got to have some kind of game plan with that. You know,
I'm kind of scared of trapping LeBron, Alex. You kind of go under and you kind of hope if LeBron wants to take the jumper. I mean, He's one of the all-time greats. So he takes the jumper, but you know, I think you have to not let him and Rondo get in the paint. And if he's going to take a 20-footer and beat you, then you're the best player in the world. You beat us.
Well, he's
the other strategy
get the
is always be nice to him. Don't say anything bad. Tell him how good he is. You know, don't get him upset. Because we know when we had him here, it was great to watch Wade and him. When they got upset, they played better. Some guys, you can take them out of their game when they get upset. They want to go mano a mano. Wade and LeBron, they just raised their game to another level and then killed you.
What was that? You were there during the whole Big Three. What was it like to witness the really growth of a player like LeBron? Because he definitely, he learned so much being in that system. What was that like? What did you notice?
Well, I think there's another area where Spoelstra doesn't get enough credit. When Chris Bosh came, for example, he encouraged him to go out to the three-point line. And look what kind of three-point shooter he became. With LeBron, he encouraged him to go into the low post. He didn't have that part of his game. He always wanted to play on the perimeter, and he's very effective that way. But why neglect one part of your game that can be effective? Now, that may come back to haunt him in this series, you know, if it goes small on him. But that's what you – that. So he grew – in that sense, where his game got better, they worked on little fundamentals. And I think LeBron was a winner when he came to Miami. I think the Heat and the organization with Pat Riley and Coach Spo and all of them, they taught him how to be a championship winner. I know I say this all the time. I run the Heat camps when we don't have the virus. And I tell them all the time. One of the examples I use a lot, I said the best thing that ever happened to LeBron was when we lost to Dallas in 11 because he didn't play well in that series. He was trying to please all his critics. And he even mentioned after that, for 2 weeks, he boarded in a room and he felt sorry for himself. And then he finally decided, hey, I can't listen to anybody else outside the organization. I got to play my game. And that never happened again. The next 2 years, we won the championship. He was the MVP. So sometimes you have to take a step back and get bit a little bit, you know, get a loss and learn from it and then come back. And I think that's what made his career. That loss to Dallas and all the criticism, all the pseudo experts, okay, going at him, picking at him, I think that made him a better player.
Tony, speaking of the pseudo experts, they've been at it again. They're picking the Lakers. They're not giving the Heat a shot.
Yeah, Well, what? Yeah, that's natural. Who's going to pick the Heat to win the series?
Yeah, and honestly, if we're being really honest, you just look at it on paper, and this might be the easiest team LeBron has faced in the finals just because he's faced the Spurs and the Warriors over and over again, not trying to take away anything from this Heat team, which I do believe can beat the Lakers. But what I wanted to ask about here was, speaking of LeBron, you were talking about Spo and the defensive game plans that he's thrown out. You even mentioned the 2011 Mavs series where part of the thing that threw LeBron off his game on offense was the zone. And obviously, I think there's a lot of comparisons that could be made between this Heat team from this year and that Mavs team. And going back to the defensive game plan versus LeBron, is it possible to have some way where, obviously, in a broad way, they're going to want to crowd the paint and let the shooters beat you, but specifically to have a different defensive game plan and different defensive principles for LeBron and for AD? So, for example, like we were talking, Giancarlo was talking before about whether or not you trap LeBron. I guess that's dependent on who the shooter is that you're leaving off. Maybe you do that for a Rondo, Caruso, not for Green. But at the end of the day, if whether or not you're trapping LeBron, they could do different things, right? They can kind of crowd the paint when they're doing the pick and roll stuff, because when they're not running zone, I think that's something that's going to be really, really interesting, is their pick and roll defense. I don't really know how they're going to guard it if the Lakers are playing a big, because Bam is, you know, going to be on that big. So they're going to have Crowder and Jimmy there matched up versus LeBron and Bam. How do you think the Heat can win stylistically playing their bigs off the floor while also having a defensive game plan for LeBron and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, well, you started out with the question, I think, is a good one. You probably will play Davis a little differently with LeBron off the court than when he's on the court, and vice versa.
Yeah.
The problem is that LeBron probably will play 40 minutes. He's only going to be off the court for 8 to 10 minutes. You got to try to take advantage of that. And then when he's off, maybe you double team. You know, these are all the questions that a coach has to go through with his staff. They spend hours discussing everything. There isn't anything that a fan can suggest or a pseudo expert can suggest that they haven't gone over and mulled over and maybe put on a chart where, look, if this doesn't work, let's maybe go to this, that sort of thing. And it's a 7-game series, not one game. It's a 7-game series. So there's a little feeling out each other in the first game. That's why you don't get too excited about if you win one or lose one at the beginning. And then you see where it takes you for the next game and the game after that. But we know the resolve that the Heat have. We know how they come back. And we know that they're practically never out of any game. And I said the same thing. Somebody asked me, do you think the Heat can win a championship? And I said, look, if they win 3 series to get to the finals, why not? There's 28 teams in the NBA that have no shot. There's only 2 teams got the shot. And so you give it your best. You go out there and give it your best. It's been good so far.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We're about to welcome in our friend of the show, Solomon Hill. Coach, on the way out, I need to ask you, you have liked a lot of this new Heat Twitter meme where they do the face plant on famous movie scenes and funny GIFs.
What
I
is see that? You
like, I don't know. It just kind of happened, but you're in on it, and we love that you're in on
it. Everything.
Yeah, it's great. We love it. You are the mascot of Heat Twitter.
You remember Mr. Ed, the talking horse?
Yes.
I'm waiting for my face to be on him next.
Okay, we'll get that arranged.
We'll get on that.
Coach, you are the best, sir. Thank you so much for joining
Thanks,
us
guys.
Again.
Hang in there, man. We'll see what happens. It's going to be exciting.
You. Thanks, Coach.
You're the best,
you
Coach.
You got it. Ciao, guys.
Can we get one final yeah, baby on the way out?
Yeah, baby. Let's get it.
Coach, luminary Tony Fiorentino, thank you so much for copping in.
You got it.
You've counted on restaurants all your life. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you've been craving right to your door. Ordering is really easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and the food will be safely delivered outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, anything. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery as well. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order on $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget the code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold, and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts. We welcome in the crossover master himself, friend of the show, Solomon Hill. What's up, my man?
What's good, everybody? How you guys doing?
How's it going, man? Listen, we said the last time you were on that if we make the finals, if the Miami Heat make the finals, you would come back on. That prophecy has been fulfilled. Congratulations, sir.
Man, appreciate it. Much appreciated.
Solomon, I want to start with one thing. You're a badass, dude. You don't play a lot in the bubble. You get a couple spot minutes. You don't really play much in the first two series. You come in against arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference, the team that ESPN and all these people were crowning the next generation of greatest thing ever. And you come in and you play dog minutes on defense. You are competing. You know that you have the best plus minus on the team and on off.
Oh, no, I didn't know, man.
Heat are plus 19 per 100 possessions when you're in the game.
Oh, man, I just go out there. And I think one thing that our team lives on is just winning games, doing our best. You know, it's a lot of, when you're successful, you know, when you win games, people can find a stat that to ride on. And, you know, statistically, we're not supposed to be here. So we have a belief in the locker room amongst each other and a lot of trust to just try to go out there and get the job done.
Salma, why were you not shooting? There were a couple times that you were open. You got that swing pass wide open on the wing, and I stand up and I throw my arms up. I go, shoot it. And you pass out of it. It was a good play, but I really wanted you to. You're a good shooter, man. You're a good shooter.
No, for sure. It was just situations where, you know, sometimes I just feel like the best situation is probably get the ball to the guys that have a rhythm at that moment, you know, knowing that my minutes were going to be like they were. The huge part of what I was out there to do was play defense. And, you know, I was able to make really good plays. And, you know, if something would have came to me in a different situation, for sure I would have shot the ball. But I was lucky enough to be the recipient of on the other end of some good passes to a couple of good people. And, like, KO came in there and was able to get a couple shots right off my passes. So it was really great to just be out there, but I'll definitely be looking for my shot whenever I get it.
You also can't show your whole bag of tricks before the finals. You're saving some stuff, right? I mean, that's what you got to do. You can't show up on the scouting report.
Man, you got to get it done, whatever that means. You know, if a coach asks me to do something, go out there and just take charges all day, then if that's what's going to get us
sounds like it hurts, you know, Solomon. That sounds painful.
Hey, man. I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. It's for all the chips right now.
You hit him with the cleanest pocket pass I've ever seen. I stood up. I yelled. I was like, that's my homie, Solomon Hill. That clean ass pocket. I think it was KO. It was rolling to the rim. You got him in stride. It was clean. We love it, man. So does coach tell you, like, before the game, like, hey, like, expect some minutes today, or is it just like, hey, Solomon, like, you know, we're gonna need some minutes right now? How does this work?
It's all fluent. You know, I think when we approached every series, it's all hands on deck. You know, and that's how we approach this series. Is that, you know, game to game can be totally different schemes and plans. So we have a great mature group of guys that everybody is ready. It's a great feeling knowing that we have a good age and good mix of guys that everybody's ready to contribute. You know, Myers, KO, DJ, Kendrick Nunn. Like, when you look at the guys that we have on our bench, it's really cool to being able to look around and trust everybody that you have on the roster.
Solomon, I got it. So when you're, like, in the huddle, in game six, when did it become apparent that this was a wrap? Like, there's a moment, like, Bam's taking over that game. Bam is doing the stuff that
had to be the Bam takeover, right?
the superstar leap, right? Like, are you guys, is there a moment in the huddle where it kind of dawns on everyone like, oh, wow, like this is happening?
Not really. I wouldn't say with a guy like UD, with guys like Dre, they've been here. You know what I'm saying? So it's not over till it's over. You know, they've been in some crazy scenarios and situations. And even some of the games that we've had, we've been in situations where teams have
made some runs. Oh, my God, that Milwaukee game where Jimmy threw the ball in the basket almost.
So we kind of got to a point where we were thinking it's not over till it's done, right? Till we're in the locker room after the game, we can bring it in, and we know that game is a game is won. And that's how we just try to approach it, is that it's not over till it's over.
I have a question. It was reported by the LA Times, Dan Wacky Sports. He said that Miami Heat didn't want confetti after your game six win against the Boston Celtics. Was that true?
I have no idea. But
because that was weird. Like, we were wondering why there wasn't confetti on the floor. Like, the Lakers had it.
We were mad that the Lakers got confetti and that we didn't.
You think Pat is making that decision? Really, you think Pat Riley's like, no confetti. Act like you've been there.
I mean, I think it should go hand in hand that everybody knows Heat culture. You know what Pat wants to celebrate, and that trickles down from him to any and everybody within the staff and on our team. You know, we know what we want to celebrate. We know what we talked about when they started the season and when I came. But I think that's the moment that you wait for, especially in the bubble. It's not like we're, you know, it's like we're celebrating in the arena and all our fans, and that's kind of like our nod to our fans as well. But now that we're in a bubble, we're going. I just feel like, you know, the confetti will come when it's needed.
So you mentioned UD earlier, and that honestly made me think about that moment the other night. I think it was Game 5. They showed him on national TV, just kind of in that huddle. He was really going at you guys. I think
in the third quarter. In the third quarter.
Yeah, yep. there was a struggle in the third quarter, and you got one of those classic UD speeches. What was it like being in the middle of that? We know it's a storied thing, right? Like they've kept him on because of the impact that he has as this kind of coach on the roster. What was it like to see UD in his element like that, and how did it empower the team going forward? Because I really do believe in the effect of that.
No, that's most definitely. You know, it's the same reason why I just said we have guys like UD, you know, guys like Dre on our team. Because when you have guys that's been there and that's been through the mud, they give you a calm feeling. It's kind of like it's that feeling like when you go to, you and your friend go to somebody's hood, you know, and you don't know nobody over there. You know, it's just kind of like, all right, well, you know what I'm saying? You say you think we safe, and you're just kind of looking at each other like, man, well, we don't know. And you walk the streets. But it's a different feeling when you go to your best friend's hood and he's good. Like, you know, these are my people. And that's how UD and Dre makes us feel about this stage. It's like, man, UD looks at us and like, yeah, we all hungry here. You know, we can get it done. And it gives that belief to every single body. Like every person on our team is just like, yeah, if these guys have seen it and they've done it at the highest level, then we can do it. And they really add in UD's words, everybody listens. You know, it's different from like the coaching standpoint, but it's that real, I'm in the trenches too. Like we add it every day in practice and I see it. You know, I can't want it more than you guys want it. And it's like, it's really a kick in the ass and it keeps us straight. It keeps us like a straight and narrow and puts it together when we need it.
All right, Tom, and I have to ask a question that obviously everyone in the NBA wants to know. I want to know the inside workings of Big Face Coffee. Have you purchased coffee from your teammate Jimmy Butler?
Who's bought the most coffee, actually?
It has to be Goran. I bet
it's Goran. Good question, Brian.
It's Gogi. It's probably Gogi, for sure. He made me a mocha.
Oh.
I bought a mocha from him. Yeah, it's a...
Did you go small, coming, medium, man, or large?
For what are the hours of operation?
Large, man. You better get a large one. I'm doing 20. I'm gonna do the large one for sure.
So does he accept Apple Pay?
No, Apple Pay. Cash only.
Cash only. What are the hours of operations of Big Face Coffee?
Yeah, because Goran had like a live, and that wasn't live, it was an Instagram story where he was like trying to get coffee, I think around like 10 p.m. and I guess his door was closed.
Goran can't be drinking coffee at 10 p.m.
Yeah,
Goran,
I think like that's... the thing about Big Face Coffee is it's an experience. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't have hours. It's a cash only because it's kind of like if you're walking past and it just happens to be open and you have cash on you, it's like okay. you're just like you're a chosen one that day to get your big face coffee. And that's what makes it, I'm telling you, man, it's
like a pop-up shop.
It's a rarity. It's it's really cool. It's if you see it, you know, you might want to grab three coffees and you
save it. Ooh, 60 else. Bucks. Yeah. Is there an ATM? What are the ATM fees at Disney? You know what I'm
saying? About to be recent.
Is there branding on the cups?
There has to be branding.
Does Jimmy have branding on the cups? Like, you know, Starbucks has a little Starbucks logo. Is there a little logo?
It's basically like the Supreme logo. Everything's like super hyped.
Yeah, it's gonna be, he's logo. He's official. He's certified with it.
That's so he keeps on under wraps like what beans he uses, right?
If you know, you probably signed like an NDA or something. So speaking about it.
Is Jimmy claiming this money? Is he filing this to the IRS? I think that's the question that Jimmy does. Jimmy has to be careful.
Come on, man. What are you doing right now?
It's like in the fine print on the back. It's like it's tips. We accept all offers as tips. So,
Jimmy good. Got an accountant on this. That's why he's smart. That's why he's the leader.
Big face coffee, man. It's a real thing.
So, Solomon, I've heard Duncan Robinson has been on Zach Lowe's podcast and other pods with Ron Shelburne and everything. And he talked
about JJ Redick, too. He's their correspondent.
Yeah, Duncan's talked about after playoff wins and in a downstairs bar, Goran, Myers, and Jimmy will enjoy a cold one. Do you ever indulge with the vets down there after wins? What's it like? No. Paint the picture for us.
You know what's crazy is that I didn't even know that everybody was at the spot yesterday. I came back to my room and was like talking to my dad.
You weren't at the NBA Finals media availability?
Oh, wait, no. I thought you were talking like when you talking about, like,
about the celebrations. Yeah,
the celebration. So majority of the people in the family went down to the middle to eat. And I kind of just went to my room. I went to shower up and kick it, but I was just taking it in and talking to my dad about it. And it's crazy because like I have a really good relationship with Dan. Dan does everything. And I asked him, I was just like, yo, can you send me like all of their last game series on video and then their Houston series games? And then I was just kind of spitballing ideas with him. And I was just, I'm gonna go to sleep. I'm probably gonna get some golf in the morning. And then in the morning when I saw Duncan and everybody, they were like, and we were golfing, I was just like, oh. When I didn't see Duncan this morning, but I was like, oh, he was like, yo, where were you last night? I was in my room, sleep. Like, I know I had to get up for a tea time. So he's like, oh, everybody was in the middle. I was like, whoa, I didn't know. I was just in the room talking on the phone with my dad. I got goals within my body fat. I'm in a good place, but I'd like to be in a great place. I'm trying to get that UD look where it just looks like,
hell yeah.
I've never gained weight ever in my life.
What do we all want to have that look?
Must be nice, Solomon. Yeah, must be nice.
I'm just trying to. I'm just. So I'm just water at this moment. Water. Big water chugger. You know, I tell Myers if I get down there, I chug one. We get the confetti. I told Myers I chug two with him. For now I'm with Ephraim. I'm just drinking water.
Do y'all tease Tyler that if you guys win the championship, he's technically not allowed to drink?
He can't drink the champagne if you guys open it.
Just smell the bubbles. Smell the bubbles.
He's gonna get it in his eye.
Some apple cider.
Do you have goggles?
It'll motivate him to get back there again.
Ray Allen talked a lot about wearing goggles because the champagne hurts your eyes. Are you guys, just in case, are you guys prepared? Do you guys have goggles and eyewear?
Right now, I think we're just prepared for game one. You know,
that's after game four, G.
That's after game four. That's right. When they're up 3-0.
Yeah. Once the ropes come out, that's when you start preparing.
Just want to go out there and get the game one.
On the topic of Duncan Robinson on the JJ Redick podcast, he mentioned how he was thinking about getting full sleeve tattoos. Reason being, because he thinks it might help him not get attacked as much on defense and it would gain him more respect. Is that something he's brought up to you guys on the team? And what do you think about that?
That's not real. That is not real.
Is that real, Brian?
Yes, it is absolutely real.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
He said he wanted to get full sleeves for what reason?
Because he thinks it might help him get more respect. I guess in terms of like getting respect from other NBA peers. And then also it might help him not get attacked as much on defense.
Solomon, how bad are those foul calls? Duncan Robinson is constantly getting those fouls. You don't have to comment. I don't want to take away from your wallet, but
you know what? That's Duncan. It's weird because the one thing that the NBA has proven to be like a respect type of league. And Duncan has, he surprised many around the league that don't know him. And so I think he's coming to understand that he will, like, that respect will be earned by him. You know, I tell him all the time that you know, you have to communicate with these refs and let them know, build that relationship, because you're the best shooter.
In the league. Exactly. In the league.
Like, that's what I tell him. He's the best shooter in the league.
He is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I tell him, like, it's not.
I sent you a stat. I don't DM you very much, Solomon. But when I do, I send you very, very important things.
Always produce.
And the one I sent you, I hope you relate us to Duncan at some point, maybe after the series is over. But Duncan Robinson, per Christian Hernandez, has become the third player in NBA playoffs history, 26 years or younger, to shoot 40% plus from three and at least seven three-pointer attempts per game while reaching the NBA Finals. The other two players were Steph Curry back in 2015 and Klay Thompson in 2016.
Well, it's the crazy thing about, you know, when I first met Dunk and being able to watch him up until we came into the bubble, that's like, I kept saying the same thing, but it got to a point where I see how Dunk is wired, where Dunk doesn't care about that. And that's who he is. That's why he is who he is, because he don't care about what people say, what the stats say. Like, he's sharpening his tool every single day. It doesn't matter about what he's done over the span of a full season. He's like, how the f*** did I shoot it today? You know, and if I didn't, okay, I need to get this. It needs to be like this every single game. And that's what has allowed him to be who he is. And he's harder on himself more than anybody. He actually, it'll take him, I don't know if he ever, and I hope he's never like it. Because I want him to just keep being like that. I want him to just, that's his thing. It's just that I don't give a f- these, what people say about how good a shooter. Like, I don't care about that. I just want to go out and do my job. And that's what's dope about him. And on defense, he'll get that respect too. You know, he's going to get that respect of being like, hey, man, he's a scrappy guy on defense. Everybody's trying him. Like, everybody wants to try him, but he gets kills. He gets stops for our team. And mm-hmm. It's huge.
He played huge fourth quarter minutes in that game six. And they basically took off Gorn the entire quarter. After the first couple of minutes, they subbed him in and then he played the rest of that game. That was huge for you guys.
He'll get more comfortable on defense. I think that's what it is. Once he gets comfortable, because he's guarding, the crazy part about it, me and Jerry was telling him, you're guarding the best players in the NBA every night. If anybody's going to have the inside track as to how to guard these guys, it's going to be you. Because everybody, you guarded Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, like Gordon Hayward. Like, you've guarded everybody on their team, even Indiana series. Everybody's tried you. Giannis has tried you. Chris Middleton has tried you. You're getting an opportunity that some players never get. You have the opportunity of guarding every single scorer or person on the team. And that's only going to help you when you continue, you know, year four, five, six. You're going to have a better feel for it defensively. But his strides that he's made this year has been huge for us.
He's incredible. And, like, there was a certain moment in that fourth quarter where he hit a three on one end and then he broke up a lob play on the other. And for a second, I thought it was Tyler, because Tyler's a guy that gets in on rebounds. He jumps higher than anyone thinks. He's really in that. And I was like, oh, shit, it's Duncan. Like, that's.
Yeah, no, that's Dunk. That's no, Dunk, man.
The team has the guts, man.
And that's the coach. Like you said, that's coach. Dunk is bought in. He's all in. And that's all you would want from anybody in here.
Tom, and like the one thing I've marveled at this team has been the transformation on defense. Before you and Jay and Andre got there, it was a lot of drop scheme defense. And now it's been a switch everything. You guys have played more conventional way against Indiana. You guys played a lot of man. You guys played zone. You guys played a little bit of everything against the Bucks. A lot of loading the strong side of the ball. A lot of switching. A lot of different stuff. And then the Celtics.
Wall. Yeah, they built the wall, basically.
The wall. And then when you're playing the Celtics, you're doing lots of switching. You're playing lots of zone. Like, I really wonder, as a player, and I know we know how great Spo is, like, what's that like to just be like, all right, this is the game plan. It's completely different from last time.
That's what being a part of Heat culture and being a part of playing the game of basketball, that's when it really matters. I've had this thought since I was a kid, winning an NBA championship on my terms, how I wanted to win it. Whatever stats that I thought, you know, whatever record I thought I was going to do to get to it. But when you want to win a championship, you have to be selfless. You have to be ready and willing to give something other than yourself to the game. And that's what it's been like on this team, you know. And everybody's bought in into just being open. So if coach says, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, you know, and we have the capacity and the ability with guys and movable parts to being like, okay, if we want to do this, this is who's going to be out there because it's the most effective. And everybody, even the people on the court and the people off the court, are all connected as one of being like, if this is what we have to do to win, and this is who it takes, a part of our culture of people, and it wins us games, we're all in. And so it's so much easy to just listen to coach, and coach is like, hey, this would be successful. And he draws it up, we execute, and we find success. And that's the relationship that you would want playing the game of basketball.
How's when you had the best coach in the league?
There you go.
I don't know if we mentioned this with Tony. I don't know if you saw LeBron's comments today, but just completely were singing Eric Spoelstra's praises in a way that I think it's, I mean, you, this is your first time with the Heat. Like, what's, you know, I think coaches' reputations with players is really important, you know, especially when guys are deciding where to go and everything. LeBron spoke flowers about Eric Spoelstra. Like, what was your perception of kind of this coaching staff before you got here? Like, what's the reputation? Like, I just wonder, like, I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but like, I just, like, we as fans, like, we're about Spo. Like, we know, we think that he's the best guy in the league.
No,
basically, LeBron said weird. That he basically deserves his respect, and that it's really the media's fault that he's not considered one of the best coaches in the league for over these last few years. And he was talking about how hard it was to coach three all-stars in LeBron, Wade, and Bosh at the time.
You know, it's crazy because no one spoke, so I don't, like, he don't give a I'm sorry, because, but Coach Spo doesn't. He doesn't really care, man. He doesn't care about none of that stuff. I think that's the thing that I didn't know. That was the thing about Miami, is that you lacked real knowledge about the situation. So you just thought they were afraid, like them, you know, you're going to the Pat Riley test. I did it in college. And I was like, wow, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life.
Wait, what's that? Wait, explain that.
Oh, so it's just a conditioning drill. So basically you just, you know, you're doing sprints, full length of the court. And so everybody changes it. So I know in college we did it where we had to do 10 touches. So, and then you have a certain amount of time that you have to do that test in. It's like wing guards, bigs, and you can bank time, but you have to fall within that time. So if you have to do it in 56 seconds, you know, you, all your sprints, all four sets that you do it, it has to be in those 56 seconds. If it's over, probably got like what we call it hell week. So you got a whole week of extra conditioning, and then you may have to retest to see if you pass.
That sounds like it sucks.
No, but it does. But
that's how it works, right?
But there's a reason for it. Like, I mean, that helps you guys because, like, look at like how you guys played in the end of the fourth quarter. It seemed like you guys had that extra energy to make that run.
Mm-hmm. And it tests your mental too. And when I say that we have guys that are happy for one another, whether they're playing or not, if you can't give yourself up for a little bit of cardio, a little bit of out of like uncomfortableness, if you can't be, you know, if you can't have your win taking, if you can't be at your weakest point, what makes you think you're going to be okay when you're not, when you don't think you're part of something bigger than yourself? And it's one day, it's one event, it's over. If you're in Miami Heat shape, you shouldn't have anything to worry about.
But do they still keep the body fat chart in the bubble? Is that still a thing over there? I know that in the facility they have that, but did they bring
it in the locker room, right?
Hey, if you guys know Miami Heat culture, you guys wouldn't have to. So there's certain questions that answer themselves.
That shit doesn't escape you, not even in the bubble. You don't get a fucking break.
Not during the playoffs, man. Are you kidding me?
You don't need a break. It's no break from what? It's no break from success. You don't take breaks from success. You don't do that. Here in Miami Heat culture, you don't take breaks from success. You do the right thing every day.
All right, Solomon.
Might do some push-ups after this.
Yeah, get out of here. I ran this morning. It was so hot outside. I wanted to die. I was like, this humidity. And it's cool now. This is like the cool. You're missing our cold front. It's like 90 today. Solomon, I got to ask you. Last time you were on, I gave you some anime recommendations. Mm. Did you hit any of them? Or were you too busy going to the NBA finals?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah,
okay.
Not yet. Only thing I've added was God of High School.
I saw you tweeted the GIF.
Our listeners want your review on that, by the way. A lot of people in our Discord chat.
You know what? The thing that I'm going to have to I'm not going to understand. It's just, it's weird. It's like the webtoons.
Yeah, those Korean comics.
It's different because it's supposed to be like it's going to be like the next big thing. So it's just like getting into that. It's a little different. But I like the anime. I'll take it. But I still have my list. I'm waiting. Okay.
I'm waiting. I got it. Listen, yeah, when you watch them, I want to review anime with you. I was very excited. We got to, man. We got to.
Have you done the Snapchat anime filter yet?
I have Snapchat. Yeah.
I don't have Snapchat either. So
I haven't tried it, but I've seen people who like change their avies, and it seems pretty cool.
I have to check. I'm at the.
I don't have Snapchat.
Look out.
Brass, do you have Snapchat?
I do, but I don't use it.
You're the oldest one here.
Oh wow.
But I like doing the filters with the kids and stuff like that. But I've never posted a single thing on Snapchat.
See, that's cool right there. The kids like it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Now, admittedly, I am not an anime fan, I guess. Although
we're trying to grow him. It's been a struggle and a process.
I lost a bet with Johnny about the Heat making the playoffs a few years ago, and they missed. So he gave me, I'm like, you can give me an anime to watch, and I'm going to do it. And I live tweet it and everything. And he chose the worst one ever. I don't know. Have you seen Scum's Wish? Have you ever heard of that? That's some obscure kind of stuff. I just, for the record, I just don't want you to experience that. So just avoid that one.
Solomon, you know, like anime can get weird sometimes. So I was like, how can I make Brass as uncomfortable as I can.
I picked
something that had just aired. I had seen a little bit of it. I go, this is it. I'm going to make this hell for him.
Do you have a recommendation for if you're like one anime to watch for someone who doesn't really care for it when they've seen it?
I know what you're going to say.
Probably Dragon Ball Z.
No,
or Naruto.
I know what Solomon's gonna say.
If he doesn't really care for it, though, I would say it's crazy. I would probably say Hunter x Hunter.
I knew you were gonna say that. I knew it.
Yeah, I'd say Hunter x Hunter because, like, I like the Chimera like arc, and it gives you just sometimes more than just anime. Where it's kind of like, even if you don't care for it, it's still like more. It's grown, you know. It's fun. It's just cool. I really like that one because, and then you get to see Gon. Like go crazy on them, but yeah, I think you should do Hunter x Hunter.
Well, I'll tell you this: if you win the NBA Finals, I will watch that for you because I respect you.
Let's go. You, we have a commitment, folks. I'm not jinxing you or anything, but what if you guys are end up holding the trophy? If there is confetti and champagne and gold plating. You got to come back on. We got to keep the tradition going. We got to keep this going, man. I appreciate your time.
You are, for sure, dude.
You're amazing. You are as kind and as generous as anybody.
I had one question I really want to ask.
Go.
I don't know. Are you aware of any of these like Riley folklore stories that Spo has kind of taken from him during like certain situations and like the playoffs that he likes to bring up to kind of motivate you guys? Are you aware of this one particular one? It's called the Burn the Boat story.
Mm-mm.
Okay, maybe we shouldn't tell you. Maybe we shouldn't tell you.
They haven't faced elimination, Brian. We're not going to spoil Solomon if there's a
we're not
going to
spoil
story.
It for you. But if it does happen, I want you to tell us in the podcast when it does happen.
The Burning the Boat story is a Heat Twitter classic. That is that is the Pat Riley special. Dwayne Wade has heard it, I think, on record. He said like 5 times that he was bored of it.
I'm not sure the series is going to go that long.
Listen, they haven't faced elimination. If you guys haven't played from... Oh, you know, last thing, because by the way, our Discord server, and you could join our Discord server. All the links are in the description of this podcast. If you want to get in on our community, you go to the description or on our Twitter and you join the link to get in our Discord. We're having tons of fun, especially during game days. But our Discord kind of wanted to ask, like, okay, you play with AD in New Orleans and now you're going to play him in the finals. Like, is that something that's
played for Frank Vogel?
But yeah, you know, so Like what's kind of like chat wanted to know, like kind of what was that? What's that going to be like for you? I said, I'm doing the chat a service. I wouldn't have that.
I don't care if my mom was on the other team, bro. this is for all the chips. Yeah, man, it's crazy because I'm imagining my mom and one of the jerseys. I'm still going hard. So it's for everything. This is everything I've ever thought about when I was a kid. So, right, you know,
that's
no
the craziest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, man. I love it.
But, yeah.
My man, you are
culture in the morning, culture for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love it, man.
My man, you are the best. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for everything. We wish you the best of luck. And by the way, listeners, you could watch our post-game streams at twitch.tv/MIAHeapy. We are live after every single game in the finals, to now and beyond. Join us for having tons of fun on our Twitch channel. Also, we upload our VODs. Also on Twitch and to youtube.com/C/MiamiHeapy. So check out everything there. Obviously, you're subscribed to the pod. And if you're listening on YouTube and you found it, then come on Apple Pods. Go on Spotify. Hit that subscribe. Solomon Hill's going to come back on so you can hear more of him. Coach Tony, thank you so much. Friend of the show, crossover master, Solomon Hill. We appreciate it.
Man, appreciate you guys.